that this is the Word of God and we should listen in a manner that's suitable to the fact that we know that this is God's Word. I'm rereading the portion of the chapter that I read as our text on a Sunday morning about 2 weeks ago. I had several comments about the message I preached that Sunday morning. Several people asked me to go back over that again, or at least give them the opportunity to hear it. It's on tape. If you want to hear it, it's in the library as a part of our tape library. If you want to hear it again, it was technical, and we covered a lot of territory. And perhaps you would like to, if that is a possibility and you do care to, it's available for you. You can go and listen to it there. If you want to make a copy, you can make your own copy if you want to listen further. Now, some of you can't stand but one hearing, and that's fine. In 2 Kings chapter 2, I want to read the first 15 verses, and this is the same text that I took that Sunday morning. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee." And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle. His mantle is his garment, his cloak. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." I seriously doubt if a greater compliment was ever paid to a single mortal human being by another mortal human being than that sentence right there. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now you may recall, if you've been a serious student of our studies in the lives of Elijah and Elisha, that Elisha has disappeared from view for several chapters now of God's Word. He first appeared and last appeared before this in the closing verses of the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. When he was in a field plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he was on the one at the end that signified that he was the son, at least, of the landowner who owned the field and the oxen. And Elijah, the prophet of God, came striding across the field. with no word that is recorded as having been spoken, he took the mantle of off his own shoulders and placed it across the shoulders of Elisha, and still with no word spoken, he turned and started walking away. Elisha called after him and made arrangements for him, as it were, to wait. He went home and said farewell and went out to his prophetic task. Now, he's not heard of from that point up to this point that we started reading, where we started reading this evening in 2 Kings chapter 2. And the suggestion is that whereas that first encounter we have with him marks his emptying of himself by the placing of himself completely and absolutely on the altar in the form of a sacrifice that represented his dedicated devotion to God, this passage records the story not of his emptying of self, but of his endowment of power. Now, his emptying of self is a part of it. There is no endowment of power without an emptying of self. And that rule holds rigidly. There are no exceptions to it. God cannot entrust his power to the average Christian, simply because they're not reliable. They're not trustworthy. We are not reliable. And because of this, God cannot entrust his power in our hands. You see, God is looking for one person, and that's the person whom he can trust. And when he can find one person whom he can trust, he will give everything that heaven can afford to any human being into the hands of that person, and know that God will be able to get glory from that, and the person will not have to thrust himself into the credit for what happens. So God is looking around in this place this evening for one person whom he can trust. Now, there's a second primary truth that comes out of this passage, and that is that God will never call you to a work for which he is not willing and able and eager to equip you. And if God calls you to a work, he has demonstrated by his call his ability, his eagerness, his willingness to equip you fully for the service he calls you to perform. And that's amply demonstrated in the lives of both of these men, Elijah, whose life we scanned over rather briefly and hurriedly Sunday evenings for some time now, and Elisha, and it certainly becomes true in an exceptional way for demonstration and observation in this second chapter of 2 Kings. So we're going to have a look tonight at what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the key verse is verse 9. Verse 9. The last part of the verse where Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Now, he could very well have asked for power, but he recognized that the power was so personal that there was a spirit involved. And I think he's talking about the disposition, the attitude of Elijah. But there's a double meaning even here, because he's talking probably in an awareness that there was something from God upon this man that the average person did not have, and he wanted a double portion of it because that was the only way he could see through to an adequate ministry for God. Now, what was the spirit of Elijah? It's spoken of many times in the Bible. We might identify it in just a few sentences. It was the spirit of personal faith, because the very name Elijah, Eli, Hebrew for my God, Jah, the abbreviation of the Old Testament word Jehovah, one of the Old Testament words for God. My God is Jehovah. Or if you translate it actually, Jehovah is my strength. Because it's the plural word for God, the word that always pictures him in majesty and power, Elohim. Jehovah is my strength. The Lord is my strength. So his spirit was a spirit of personal faith. His spirit was a spirit of personal obedience. Many, many times, when God said to Elijah, and again the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and again it says he arose and went and did according to the word of the Lord. So his spirit was consistently, continually, constantly a spirit of personal obedience. And that's the kind of person God yet waits on in our world tonight. His spirit was a spirit of prayer. When the New Testament comes to cast around for some example of a praying spirit, when he wants to talk about somebody whom we can look to for an example, it turns to Elijah. And it says he was a man of like passions as we are. He was a normal, average human being just like you. But he prayed earnestly, and because of the fervency of his faith and his prayer, God answered his prayer, sealed up the heavens for 3 years, and then sent rain again upon his prayer and his request. So he was a man of